the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider as we move into the third week of January. It's been a busy time for the Holy Father, Pope Leo, now in the eighth month of his papacy, as you will hear in the news report. First, let me tell you about my guest in the interview segment, Kathleen Jagger, president of Newman University in Wichita, Kansas. We met when she was in Rome last November for the Jubilee of Education and for the November 1st declaration of Cardinal John Henry Newman as a Doctor of the Church and co-patron with St. Thomas Aquinas of the Church's education mission. Newman University has come a long way since its founding in 1933 by the Sisters of the Adorers of the Blood of Christ, this in the middle of the Great Depression. Known then as Sacred Heart Junior College for Women, it was helping transform the lives of children and their parents by educating sisters and lay women to be certified teachers. Kathleen brings us up to date on the name change and much more as we explore Newman today, the only Catholic university in America to have that name. That story after the news. Now, some of the news highlights of the past week. Sunday, January 11th, Feast of the Baptism of Jesus in the Sistine Chapel, Pope Leo baptized 20 children of Vatican employees, thus carrying on a tradition started in 1981 by Pope St. John Paul II. Leo told the parents, "Just as these children received life from you, so now they receive the meaning with which to live it, faith." He emphasized, "When we know something is essential, we seek to give it to the people we love. For example, clothes and food for children. Yet, even greater than food or clothes, which are necessary for life, faith is even more essential. For with God, life finds salvation." At the Angelus Sunday, Pope Leo prayed for peace in Iran, where protests continue, and Syria, where the army is battling Kurdish forces in the city of Aleppo. He also condemned the recent Russian strikes on Ukrainian civilians. Monday, January 12th, Pope Leo XIV received Maria Corina Machado, the former member of the Venezuelan National Assembly who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in October 2025. The Vatican did not release details of the meeting, but in a statement on X by the Venezuelan Political Opposition Coalition, Machado said, "Today I had the blessing and honor of being able to share with His Holiness and express our gratitude for His monitoring of events in our country. I also conveyed to Him the strength of the Venezuelan people who remain firm and in prayer for Venezuela's freedom. And I asked Him to intercede for all Venezuelans who remain kidnapped and missing." As is by now part of his weekly routine, Pope Leo went to Castel Gandolfo in the afternoon on Monday, remained overnight, and returned to the Vatican Tuesday evening. Tuesday, January 13th, no public events for Pope Leo. Wednesday, January 14th, during his weekly general audience, Pope Leo began his catechesis series on the documents of the Second Vatican Council, having announced last week he would be rereading and reflecting on those documents. Today, he said, "We will be looking more closely at one of the most beautiful and important documents of the Council, namely the dogmatic Constitution Dei Verbum on Divine Revelation. As today's scripture reminds us, Jesus calls us friends because He has revealed to us everything that He has heard from the Father. It is through revelation, which reveals its fullness in Jesus, the Word made flesh, that we are invited to share in God's life as His children in Christ. We are reminded that friendship with God is not only a gift, but it's also an invitation that requires a response, as in any relationship. To cultivate this friendship, we must spend time with God in prayer, both personally and especially through the liturgy, where the community gathers to listen to the Word of God with the guidance of the Church. Before the general audience, in a room adjacent to the Paul VI Hall, Leo XIV was shown the mosaic medallion, known as a roundelle, that portrays him as Pope, that, in keeping with tradition, was completed by the Vatican Mosaic Studio. The roundelle will join the mosaic portraits of Leo's 266 predecessors, lining the walls of the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. It will be placed at a height of 43 feet and next to that of Pope Francis. The extraordinarily lifelike representation of Pope Leo in the mosaic is composed of over 15,000 tiles, including some dating back to the 1800s. At the end of the presentation, the Holy Father invited all those present to join him in a moment of prayer before the image. Thursday, January 15th. In a message addressed to its editor, Mario Orfeo, Pope Leo sent his best wishes for the 50th anniversary of the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, expressing his hope that the press will, quote, always promote communication that is free and dialogical, animated by the search for truth and without prejudice. Even amid a diversity of opinions, points of view, and cultures, he said, the press must always act with transparency and integrity, and must offer that opportunity for dialogue which, when it is not hostile, contributes to the common good and to the unity of the human family. In this way, dialogue overcomes conflict and builds peace. Friday, January 16th. Pope Leo's day was dedicated to the ad limina visit of the bishops of Slovenia, the first such visit of his papacy. There were no ad limina visits in 2025. These are quinquennial visits by bishops mandated by canon law. The last ad liminas before Friday were in 2024 and included bishops from five regions of Italy, Ethiopia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Malta, Slovakia, Namibia, Mali, and Lesotho. Also Friday, the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica, officially closed on the Epiphany January 6th, was sealed shut today from the inside, the fourth and final Jubilee of Hope Holy Door to have been sealed shut. Work was done by the San Pietrini, the staff of the Fabric of St. Peter, the office responsible for basilica maintenance, as they erected a brick wall inside the church to permanently seal the Holy Door. Well, those are the week's news highlights, but stay here for my conversation with Kathleen Jagger, president of Newman University in Wichita, Kansas.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1993. EWTN provides live coverage for World Youth Day 93 from Denver, Colorado, to 32 million homes. It marks the debut of a new producer, Michael Warsaw, who will one day become EWTN's chairman of the board and chief executive officer.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch the EWTN series, specials, events, and news streaming live from anywhere in the world. Streaming is available on the EWTN app for Apple, Android, and Amazon devices. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Is prayer powerful? St. Alphonsus Liguori put it this way, he who prays will be saved. He who does not pray, well, you get the point. Prayer can bring us salvation. It's the means of putting us into communion with God, and God can do all things. The more our will lines up with the will of God, the more powerful our prayers, and the simpler they become ultimately, be it done to me, Lord, according to thy word. That's the prayer God will always answer.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
As you will soon hear in my interview with Kathleen Jagger, president of Newman University in Kansas, we taped this conversation during the November 2025 Jubilee of Education in Rome. Many Jubilee events and special events occurred since then that precluded an earlier airing of our conversation. In any case, it's a fascinating story. Well, I want to welcome my listeners to another fascinating segment, interview segment for Vatican Insider, because as I am sitting here with my guest, Kathleen Jagger, she is the president of Newman University, and this is a weekend on which the name of St. John Henry Newman has been bandied about all over the place because, of course, he's not only a saint today, and that's November 1st, 2025, he was made a doctor of the church and also proclaimed co-patron of the church's education mission. And there's already, of course, we have St. Thomas Aquinas for that. Kathleen, it's so wonderful to have you here. Just a short time in Rome, coming from Kansas, from Newman University, and today at the Mass, you were like a couple of yards away from from Pope Leo. So many exceptional things happened. And then also joining us, and we met just a short time ago, Sister Maria is the head of the Order of the Sisters of the Precious Blood. And they founded the university many, many years ago. So, Kathleen, welcome to Rome. Welcome to Joan's home.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, this is such fun. We had a wonderful brunch at Home Baked so we could get acquainted. And this could probably be a two-hour show if everything we talked about, universities and Newman and your order, you know, Sister Maria, we could do a thrilling educational, informational segment. Anyway, we don't have 2 hours. So how long have you been at Newman, and tell us a little bit before I talk to Sister about the its founding.
So I've been at Newman. This is my sixth year as president. And the school was founded in 1933 by the Adorers of the Blood of Christ. It was in the middle of the Great Depression. And the sisters saw a need for education for those who were teachers. Law had been passed in Kansas that teachers had to have a college degree. And at that time, most of them did not. Many of them were women, sisters, and others, laypersons. So they founded this junior college initially and called it Sacred Heart Junior College. And so the founding was really to serve teachers in the area so they could receive a college education.
And on that note, I'll just kind of get over here and talk to Sister Maria and tell us a little bit about the order and your foundress and again the link to Newman and why his name.
For us, as Adorers of the Blood of Christ, we're an international congregation, but we were founded here in Italy, in little Acuto, Italy, by St. Maria de Matthias. She became a saint in 2003. And St. Maria is known in Italy as a forerunner in education herself. She reached out to the poor shepherd boys in the hills to make sure they learned how to read and to write. And she gathered the women in sewing circles and taught them about the Gospels and helped them learn skills of reading and housekeeping. There were people from the church who came to check to see if her theology was good because she really never had a formal education. And they found no question in her theology.
How
it really
beautiful.
Was from the grace of God. It really was the grace of God. We're all over the world in more than 27 countries. So at one point, we were three provinces in the United States, and Wichita, Kansas was one of the provinces. And that is the province that founded Sacred Heart College, which later became Newman University. And I'm going to let Kathleen talk about how it got the name Newman.
Okay.
Because I was originally from the Pennsylvania province.
Okay.
And I know our sisters would question me if I tried to tell their history.
Yeah, you're probably right. So we'll have a little diplomatic act today and turn the history back to Kathleen. But thank you. And if I have another question in a minute, I'll certainly get back to you, Sister Maria. So, Kathleen, you are now in Rome for all of the events, the proclamation of John Henry Newman as Doctor of the Church. So just tell us briefly about your experience and what it means to you, what it has meant.
Oh, this day was just a dream come true, to be here in the Vatican with John Henry Newman being recognized. He is someone I didn't really know much about before I came to Newman University, but of course, as president for the last 6 years, there are so many ways that we celebrate him. And so much of his writing we have taught our students. It is built into our mission, which can be distilled down, founded by the Adorers of the Blood of Christ, named after John Henry Newman. But our mission is to empower students to transform society. So teaching students that you've been given gifts, and your responsibility is to go out and do something with those gifts for the greater good.
And Pope Leo, in a speech yesterday, made that same point. He just said one of the most, you know, education. He said it is one of the most absolute beautiful things in life, right, because of its ability to transform society. So you and Pope Leo and Newman are all on the same, singing the same song.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, John Henry Newman and his writings focus a lot on truth, on faith and reason together, you know, that they're not opposed.
You can have
faith and reason, and the educated mind, the intellect, is a result of both faith and reason. And so I think for a college that was aspiring to provide a very broad education, a liberal arts kind of education, John Henry Newman was the perfect person to stand for that. And
you're the only one in the U.S., right?
We are the only university named after John Henry Newman.
But our readers probably do know the other time we hear the name Newman is for the Newman Centers,
right,
on the campuses of non-Catholic schools.
While the sisters founded the school in 1933, it was in 1973 that the name of the school was changed to Kansas Newman. Because Sacred Heart College, there were so many Sacred Hearts in the United States, it was hard to really distinguish yourself with that name. And so 73 was changed to Kansas Newman College. And then in the 90s, the name changed to Newman University because we started offering graduate programs and had a more international student body. And so we went from college to university, both with John Henry Newman as the namesake.
Well, I'm kind of amazed at one thing you told me over lunch today, or that I learned over lunch today. Talk about the seminarians on campus.
Yes.
That is so beautiful.
It is so exciting. Well, Wichita, it surprises many people that Wichita has the greatest population of priests per capita of Catholics than any city in the United States.
Wow.
Number one. And we have lots of people that are discerning the priesthood. And I think it was the previous bishop, not our current Bishop Kemi, but Bishop Gerber, who decided that any young men who were discerning the priesthood would get their undergraduate education at Newman University right there.
Wow.
So we became, you know, the university of our diocese. And I don't know exactly the first year this started, but when I began in 2020, I think we had maybe 6 or 7 seminarians came as new students to Newman. And then in the following years, we would have 10 and 11. And this year, we have 25 new students that are discerning priesthood.
How exciting. How exciting and beautiful for you, for obviously the diocese, for the whole Catholic Church. Oh, my word.
And we are also now hosting students from other dioceses, the Dodge City Diocese, Salina in Kansas, and also some from Arkansas. So I don't know if eventually we'll become some kind of a seminary, but it's starting a trend this year for sure.
But now, so when you were in Rome, your first days, there was a series of meetings just down the street from the Vatican City.
And the Jubilee for the World of Education.
Okay. Oh, that's of course right.
Yeah.
That's what the Mass was for today. So it was Mass for the Jubilee of Education, this almost a week-long event. Obviously, for the proclamation of St. John Henry as as Doctor of the Church. And also, it's November 1st. It's All Saints Day. But it's like it was August 1st by the weather. A phenomenal warm day.
Just beautiful.
I'm guessing there were 20,000 minimum people in the square. It was just people were sitting well beyond the obelisk and everything. So a very beautiful day. But you know, just for a minute, I want to go to the fact, because when I was, you and I had not met, I didn't know very much about Newman, so I went online to do research. And Newman obviously led me to study St. John Henry Newman even more. And then I looked into title Doctors of the Church. Then I looked up the Catholic Church in Education. And I have pages and pages of notes. But it is interesting. Cardinal Newman is now the 38th Doctor of the Church. Right. They are all saints. There are 34 men and 4 women. And we mentioned he was named co-patron of the Church's educational mission. So, Doctor of the Universal Church is a title given by the Catholic Church to saints recognized as having made a significant contribution to theology or doctrine through their research, study, or writing. And I asked myself, what are the conditions required to become a doctor? Well, of course, I went online. I won't go into the Latin, but they have to be a person of eminent learning, a high degree of sanctity, and proclamation by the Church. And it was Pope Benedict XIV who said that this third thing, proclamation by the Church, is either a declaration from the Supreme Pontiff or by a general council. And of course, today, November 1st, we heard the Pope proclaim him this. And then this decree is issued by the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints and approved by the Pope after a careful examination, of course, if it need be, of the saints' writings. But the fact is, most of these people got to be saints in the first place because the whole process of canonization requires that anything they wrote or said has to be examined. So we are free of doctrinal errors. But I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And, by the way, the 4 women are Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Therese of Lisieux, and Hildegard of Bingen. Interesting things about Doctor of the Church, for sure. Right. And must be exciting for you now to go back to the university.
I didn't realize there were only 37 when I first heard about him.
Oh, yeah, 38. Doctors. Yeah.
He's 38, so... Yeah. I knew it was unusual and rare, and of course, who hasn't in the church read about Augustine and Thomas Aquinas and
oh yeah,
St. Catherine of Siena is my patron saint, so I'm proud of her.
Oh, good.
As well. But I think it's interesting that he is known both for his theological writings and for his writings about education.
Yes.
So the book that he wrote called The Idea of a University is why he's so tightly tied to college campuses and to Newman University. But his work in theology, I think, is where he was deemed worthy of this title, Doctor of the Church.
He viewed education as a holistic process. Mm-hmm. So it was intellectual, moral, and spiritual. Mm-hmm. And it was aiming at the enlargement, if you will, of the mind rather than mere vocational training.
Exactly.
So, you know, not just learning a trade,
Yes. But
there's other things in life.
He talked about disciplining the mind for its own sake rather than for a career.
Yeah.
And developing habits of mind that continue. And he wrote this in his theological writings that our understanding of church teachings can change and mature over time, but the meaning of it doesn't really change. And he uses this analogy of a seed going into a tree, right? And so it's still the same.
And Pope Leo used that same analogy in I think it was his talk yesterday.
Yes.
You know, how it can grow into a little seed becomes a huge tree with lots of branches.
Right.
That's the fascinating part, you know.
But a little mustard seed doesn't become an apple tree, right? So the essence of it doesn't change.
Exactly.
And so, you know, this is where the idea of re-examining and re-understanding, you know, theological writings, you know, carries a great weight, carries great significance as
oh, for sure.
To interpret. But he did say that perfection of intellect and enlargement of the mind, as you said, illumination of the mind is the real aim of a university. So he wanted to really not only provide this liberal, broad education, but he wanted to cultivate in people the habits of mind that led to continuing education.
That it became part of us.
Absolutely.
Not just something like today with AI, you can ask a question of AI and you're going to get statistics because they're all out there for us if we had a lot of time to research, we could get those same answers and statistics. But then when it comes to penetrating inside the human being, like he wants to cultivate intellect, character, and spiritual well-being, not just provide information. Yes. AI can do that.
Right.
But the rest of it, you have to be a human being. Yes. And have another human being give you that formation, you know.
And,
so.
And he talked about how the object of liberal education in its breadth was really intellectual excellence. And interestingly enough, one of our core values is academic excellence at Newman, along with our Catholic identity, culture of service, and a global perspective.
Absolutely. Another thing Newman believed in, he believed that the personal relationships between teachers and students is vital for dynamic learning and the development of character. And he said, an academical system without the personal influence of teachers upon pupils is an Arctic winter.
Wow, yeah. I'm not familiar with that quote.
That is a wonderful quote, but there has to be this interrelationship. I mean, at a certain point, if you don't have it, your students themselves are going to look for something.
Right.
You know, and just the fact they come up to you as a teacher, you know, or obviously in your case as a leader, they're going to have questions and count on you. There has to be that interpersonal. Or even if someone says to a teacher, hey, what brought you to study math? What brought you to become an astronomer?
Yes.
What brought you to study philosophy or theology? You're not going to get that answer from AI folks. So
right.
Or listen to what we have to say today.
Even from a book, oftentimes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to be in relationship with people to understand their individual stories.
And I love the fact that he championed liberal education as an end in itself, because this develops the mind's capacity to analyze, to reason, and to engage with diverse ideas, a cultivated intellect. That's all the time I have today with Kathleen Jagger, president of Newman University in Kansas. But come back next weekend to learn a lot more about the university, a statue of Cardinal Newman, seminarians on campus, and so much more.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.